is it time to take pedestrian vehicles off the beach? Good Thursday morning. We're live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect, and I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. And just ahead this hour, after another area sunbather is run over on a beach, advocates say it's time to put a pause on allowing vehicles on the sand. What do you think? Give us a call right now. It's 549-2937. Then later, speaking of public safety, today is National Save a Life Day. How you can spot the signs of a heart attack and give hands-only CPR. Plus, we've got some live music in studio later in the hour, a preview of this weekend's Florida Folk Festival, all of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, there are new calls this week for a moratorium on pedestrian vehicles at area beaches. This after a woman got run over by a vehicle up in Fernandina Beach. An arrest has been made in that incident. Now, pedestrian vehicles are still allowed on some beaches around the First Coast, such as portions of Villano, St. Augustine, and Fernandina beaches. But Jacksonville Beach banned pedestrian vehicles way back in the 1970s. That's because every summer, accidents happen, and some advocates say the First Coast needs to make all of our beaches vehicle-free. Local attorney John Phillips joins us now. He's representing a client who was injured, and he's asking Nassau County to issue a moratorium on beach driving just as we head into the Memorial Day holiday. John Phillips, good morning. Thanks
for
being with us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
And we're already getting your feedback about this topic as we head into what's expected to be a scorching hot Memorial Day holiday and a lot of beachgoers out there. Do you think it's time to issue a moratorium on pedestrian vehicles on local beaches after more sunbathers have been injured by cars running them over? Give us a call. It's 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax, and our Facebook page is open too. So, John, you are representing a woman who was run over on April 24th in Nassau County. What happened?
So Amanda Gonzalez took off early a little bit from work, was just kind of relaxing, head towards the sand, which is a little unusual. Mm-hmm. And because that allows pedestrian traffic, a Jeep swerved towards the hard packed sand where she was laying, ran over her leg, actually both legs, and just kept on going. And so we're still looking for that individual. Initial reports was that she didn't break any bones and she was okay. But she wasn't, multiple fractures in her knee. She's in a complete knee stabilizer right now. Plus the nightmares. I accidentally kind of fell into this world of sunbathers, run over on beaches in 2011 when it happened in Daytona. And it was
where they still allow it. Also Crescent Beach, I think.
Correct.
You can do it there.
Yeah. There's a scattering up and down the coastline, mainly on the East Coast, not as much of the West Coast of Florida, but it happens two or three times a season and it's underreported and people don't realize it's a problem.
That's right. You've represented a number of these clients. It's 549-2937. We'll go to your calls in a moment. And a woman from Ohio the other day was also injured.
Correct.
Another one.
There's video. Yeah. So within 3 weeks, a mile apart. So for the city of Fernandina was the second one. Ours was probably one beach access out of the city of Fernandina. It's, still in Nassau County. Within 1 mile, within 3 weeks, two Jeeps, Jeep Cherokee and Jeep Wrangler, not only run over women, but run over women and then leave the scene as if, okay, I just ran over some shells.
Is it just coincidence that it always seems to be women that are getting run over?
I've been asked that over the years, and it's just, I think it's a philosophical difference of how people spend time on the sun. Women tend to relax and sunbathe, and guys, got to go play volleyball.
They're tossing a ball around, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think it's somewhat coincidence. I've looked at over 50 or 60 of these in history for Florida. I've seen one guy, I've seen one death, but generally it's women's legs and torso that have been run over.
Now, you've asked Nassau County to put in a moratorium on vehicles on the beaches. What was their response?
Not only did we ask Nassau County and the city of Fernandina to issue a moratorium, we did so on May 1st and May 2nd. So that's last time I checked, a couple of weeks before this darn thing happened. And so it's... people are saying, Phillips, you warned them. I'm like, no, we've all warned them. You know, this is inevitable. And I get it's a polarizing issue. And I get people, you know, have throwback days to their family always parking on the beach. And it's so convenient. I've never lived in one of those cities. But yeah, we did say, look, the default should be the safety rule.
Mm-hmm. Let me, if I could, share a little bit about this. It is controversial, as you just said, John. It's also this sort of cherished tradition for Floridians that enjoy driving their car on hard packed sands. This goes all the way back to the horse and buggy age and the stock car racing era in Florida. Until 1949, they would race on the beach. You know, the Daytona 500 comes out of this kind of tradition.
That's right.
And so thousands of beachgoers cherish this tradition, even though, as you said, there are only a few places now where they can do this in Volusia County, St. John's County, Nassau County. That's really about it.
Huguenot has a little and portion.
Huguenot.
There are some scattered spots, but I mean, you can find the pictures of the original Daytona Speedway races. But that's when they knew there was a race going on. It wasn't this. I mean, we've gotten videos sent to us from all over Nassau County where people are doing donuts and going, you know, hopping off ledges like you see on the kind of Land Rover setups as you drive by where they're doing these kind of fun tricks. They're doing it on the beaches. And the problem is if you can't see over the hood to see if somebody's laying there.
Now, Jacksonville Beach banned pedestrian vehicles, I believe, in 1979 because of concerns about safety.
The Florida legislature banned it. The Florida Supreme Court said, gosh, 100 years ago, that the default rule should be that sunbathers and fishermen, you know, they were gender unspecific, then,
right.
Gender specific, you know, fishermen should be reserved the right to the beach, you know, over vehicles. You know, originally, I think A1A had a portion on the beach, you know, and so it's just different now. And I get people tired of overregulation and why is this civil lawyer entering this fray? I'm entering this fray because five women, four of which were tourists to this city. To this state, that is our number one industry. We are the Sunshine State, and $1 billion transfers through tourism, and we're leaving people with crush injuries, which are significant.
The other issue that's come up over the years about this is the environmental one, that cars on the beach damage the ecosystem. You know, oil leaks, damage to wildlife. I mean, but let's be clear, you're here representing the human beings that have been injured.
Correct. We're concerned about the sea turtles, too. I mean, it's crazy that we have more stringent legislation protecting sea turtles, God bless them, than we do people, God bless them. And so, you know, there are tons of photos that have been sent to me in Nassau County of sea turtle nests, which have been, you know, run over. And so it's all of the above. It eliminates both concerns. And in Daytona, the big defense was, well, there's not enough parking. You know, they didn't build it. They built it with the intention that you're going to be able to park on the beach. Nassau has a lot of decent parking right there. And so it's our opinion that the default rule should be towards safety and regulation. And the mere fact you have two people who had the audacity or the ability to hit and run and leave means there's no regulation whatsoever.
And so what would it take then to force these counties to make this change? Because it's certainly going to be controversial because people have gotten into the habit of having this privilege.
People got in the habit of not wearing a seatbelt. People got in the habit of you know, smoking in airplanes. You know, at some point, like it or not, I get it. I get, you know, I'm people don't believe it, but I'm still a Republican. I still hold on to some of that, although, you know, it's changed lately. But, there's things that we've got to do. If it's protect two people a year, then it's to protect two people a year, plus sea turtles, plus ecological issues. It's got to start with local rule. It's got to start with, you know, they all got this exception from this statute to be able to have beach driving. And they have to make it safe for people and animals. And it doesn't appear that they're doing it.
Let's go to lots of calls now for Attorney John Phillips, representing the latest sunbather to be run over on an area beach. We are heading into a scorching hot Memorial Day holiday as summer kicks off and people crowd the beaches. What do you think about calls for moratoriums on pedestrian vehicles in Nassau, St. John's County, down in Volusia County as well? Those are the last remaining beaches around Florida that still allow you to drive your car right out onto the sand. 549-2937, Kay is in Nocatee. Hi, Kay, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Okay, being a South Floridian, I was pleasantly surprised when moving to this area to find that the way the beaches are situated, their depth and their pack. So I was not used to having the problem of having cars on the beach routinely. Now, obviously, we've had a few people that have done things that they weren't supposed to. I have two questions, and I have one question and a comment. My question is, do you have to have a permit to drive on the beaches in these areas? That's my question. And let's say that you do or you don't. Can't we have a happy medium like down South Florida, we have dog beaches, and they're designated areas. Could they have some designated areas where people were allowed to drive on the beach without infringing upon the turtles or are people laying on the sand?
Sure, yeah. All great comments from you, Kay. And you know, you're so right, Kay. We do have some amazing, wide, beautiful beaches in this area. So that's Kay in Nocatee. Lots of great points from her.
You know, Melissa, I love reasonable people. You know, those are the two questions.
They're few and far between.
And so, you know, a friend of mine I follow on Twitter calls himself the last reasonable man. I'm like, yeah, you know, I assemble that remark. but to answer the second question first, it is difficult to have traffic lanes or regulation because we're dealing with a tidal situation. And so
It
does shift up and down substantially sometimes. Plus, you never know where a turtle's going to lay a nest.
Yeah, and so it's hard to manage that.
It is a moving target.
And she wanted to know about permanent. You have to pay a fee. You have to if you go out to Huguenot, you pay to get on that
you
beach.
You do. So
you don't need a permit, but you pay.
Nassau County is different in that you can buy a season pass or a day pass, but that's only required if you're out of county. And so it's interesting because we've just gotten a public records request response requesting $1,700, which we're going to pay kind of with chagrin. To go through all of the season passes and see if we can find somebody that resembles this white Jeep Wrangler that ran over our client, which is crazy. We got to pay $1,700 to do the police's job, but so be it. You know, there is a permitting process, but we're told that because there's no guard gate, you know, there's nobody to stop people from leaving. There's nobody checking it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so unless they send a beat cop out there or a traffic cop to actually regulate it, you don't know whether somebody's from Nassau County or not.
Right. I mean, essentially, you're turning the beaches into a roadway. It's no different than Beach Boulevard when you allow that many cars onto that public space.
You don't drive on a drive. You know, a driveway is kind of meant, you know, you pull in and that's it. But this is turning a driveway into a roadway. And you've got, oh, by the way, people laying there mostly with their eyes closed. You know, you do a post on one of these cases and the advocates come out and drove saying, well, sunbathers should have flags. Oh, my gosh. Sunbathers should not have flags. You know, that's not. Is that where we are?
We actually have someone who wants to make that very point on the line. Let's go to him. It's Scott in St. John's. Hi, Scott. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Melissa. How are you doing?
Okay, thanks.
He just said flags, and I'm kind of a proponent for that. When we dive, we have diver's flags. You can rent them out when you pay to get in, and there's revenue right there, and everybody can see it. I don't believe in taking an extreme measure of no driving on the beach ever again. I've lived here 55 years, and the beach access has gotten tighter and tighter and tighter. And I'm sure that people who can afford to live at the beach love it because they consider that their backyard. But the beach should be public access, and there's just not enough public access at the beaches. If you go to a lot and walk out on the beach, you got 3,000 people right there. So if you don't want to be in a huge crowd of people, you either go during the week or you walk 3 miles down the beach, and then once again, you're probably in somebody's considered backyard. So there's got to be a happy medium somewhere to where you still have beach access to drive and keep these people safe.
All right, Scott. Thanks for your call.
I don't know how to respond to the flag comment. The Florida Supreme Court, the highest court in the state, has weighed in and said sunbathers have priority. Turtles have priority. So do turtles carry flags?
Yeah, the same rationale as pedestrians on a street have the right of way.
When you walk across the street, do you need a flag? Do you know, at some point, you know, are we all these, you know, the flag carrying members so that people see us? And that's not the answer. The answer, the person in ultimate control is the person behind the wheel.
Well, and of course, a person lying on the ground with their eyes closed is not in a position to act defensively when there are vehicles moving back and forth. I'll tell you, just me personally, it's why I would never, on the times I've been to Huguenot Park, I've never laid down on a towel because I'm too concerned that I might get run over. Right. I'll sit in a chair, I'll walk around. I'm not lying down where I can't see something coming at me.
Renda Mizell in Fort Lauderdale laid right next to the lifeguard station for that very reason, thinking nothing can get to me and I'm safe. She was alone. And darn it, if a lifeguard didn't do a U-turn around the lifeguard station, stopped to talk to the lifeguard and then forget to check around and ran over her arm. And so I'm just kind of speechless on how this thing could happen. I understand, you know, going back to the last reasonable man comment, there is a happy medium potentially, but two people in a month, two women in a month, both from out of state, we owe them more than this.
Lots of tweets about this as we speak with attorney John Phillips. Here's one. Flags for sunbathers. When is the victim blaming car culture going to stop?
Thank you.
It's the same thing cyclists face on the roadways. Why do motorists want to change what everyone else is doing when they have zero impact on their usage? And here is another tweet from Dave. We value our cars and trucks and personal convenience more than the natural environment. Cars, he says, have no place on the beach. It's a bitter metaphor for climate change as well. We're selfish, oblivious, and arrogant, and others pay the price for our hubris. So this listener's tying this Floridian practice of putting cars on the beach to willful ignorance around climate change.
There is willful ignorance. Frankly, climate change is only going to make it worse because we're going to have less beach to deal with. But I came into this kind of by accident. People know me for being on the media. My first ever national interview was with Matt Lauer in 2011, sitting here talking about why is the driver who ran over this lady not held accountable? And we've escalated it over the years to two people being run over, and now a hit and run is a possibility. And the first guy's gotten away with it ostensibly for now. And the second one, he went and hid in his, hit his car in his neighbor's garage trying to get away with it. Luckily, somebody got the tag.
Andy emails the show. I'm a Florida native and spent a lot of time parked on the beach in high school. A little enjoyment is not worth injury or death of one individual. Although parking is becoming more difficult and expensive, there is no place for beach driving in such crowded recreational areas. That's Andy in Neptune Beach writing into the show. And lots of calls for John Phillips this morning as we talk about this. It's timely. By the way, stay cool out there this Memorial Day. It's going to be something like 100 degrees out there. Bobby is on the north side. Bobby, good morning.
Yes, thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I've been intimately involved in the Huguenot Park situation. I'm also president of Florida Open Beaches. And I agree with Mr. Phillips, we do have an issue. But it's more of an enforcement issue. You're talking about 600 feet at Seaside Park, approximately, 2/10 of a mile at Peter's Point. And, the first one, the Seaside, is within the jurisdiction of both the city of Fernandina and Nassau County. It seemed like it would make sense to have a sheriff's deputy there to enforce the laws. If you don't have somebody there to enforce laws, it's the same thing as on your highway. People are going to speed. People are going to disobey laws because there's no consequence. So if we have reasonable enforcement, I think we can solve a lot of these problems. And as to the turtle issue, turtles nest at night. And I've been doing turtle program for over 12 years. And we go over statistics every year. We have had, as far as I can see from the record, we've had zero instances of people driving over turtle nests. They're well marked. The turtles nest at night. And the city of Fernandina just enacted a closing of the beach from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. For the illegal activity that people talk about, people spinning donuts. And believe me, we've had all those same problems as Huguenot. Mm-hmm. And people's having dogs unleashed on the beach, chasing the birds, and people getting attacked. We've had people get attacked by loose dogs. So if we're going to restrict vehicles, we need to restrict pets because, you know, you got the same kind of issues of people not being responsible for their pets and responsible for obeying the laws. So, yes, I believe, to throw everybody off the beach because of a lack of enforcement, when you have so little access in Nassau County to actually drive on the beach, okay? Now, driving on the beach isn't just for driving on the beach. You have people who are handicapped, who can't walk over those ramps, okay? You know, how do you accommodate the people with disabilities?
And Bobby, I appreciate this. And Bobby, I know this is Bobby Taylor calling in. I'll never forget the time you gave us a last minute phone call and we got in the car and drove out there and our kids got to see a sea turtle hatching event on the beach. I'll never forget that, Bobby. We have some amazing photographs of our little kids holding these tiny little sea turtles as they made their way from the sand into the water. It was a once in a lifetime thing. So Bobby Taylor, I so appreciate your call and everything you do for that wildlife. And I thank you for those thoughts. And so thanks for that. John Phillips, what about his comments?
I another reasonable man, you know, I'm not the get the car off the beaches guy. Let's fund the status quo of safety guy. And if it is an enforcement issue, now how far does enforcement go? And it's an enforcement issue where I've asked for safety of this particular issue, you know, 3 weeks before the second happened. And as for the turtles, I can tell Bobby that a nest at Scott Mill Road in Nassau County, that access was run over twice to the point now they have, you know, 6x6 posts around it and another thing around it. So, I mean, I don't know how the reporting goes for that, but it has happened. I have proof of it.
Okay. Diane in Murray Hill has been holding. Hi, Diane. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I've been listening. I guess I don't have as intellectual of a comment as some of the other callers, but the bottom line, as far as in my business and as far as on the beach, is you have to be concerned about the safety of individuals. Number one, cars don't belong on the beach. I know the lawyer there is about safety, and in my business, safety is first. You know, everything has to be about the individual. You can't forget about that we all are here together, and safety is the number one priority. And all the efforts that y'all are doing, kudos. I'll just make it short because...
Yeah. Thanks, Diane. Yeah.
How many
Thank you.
Reasonable
Thank you for
people
that.
Listen to First Coast Connect? Goodness.
Our listeners are the best. I'll tell you that. Melody in St. Augustine. Melody, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm on the beach as we speak.
Okay.
I live 3 miles from Volano. I want to support the caller, the speaker. I love going to the beach and not seeing a parking lot. You know, and I know there is access problems. That's a real issue in St. John's County because they're going to start charging for parking, and there's no parking. So, you know, I see both sides as far as the disabled people and not being able, you know, to get to the beach. So, but I have to support the environmental and ecological side of this is a natural resource. This is what attracts thousands of people to our coastline. And I just think a parking lot is not the way to go in the future. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Melody. Yeah. And, you know, she gets at a related issue, John, which is that particularly in St. John's County, the beaches are officially public, but in reality, they are really difficult to get to.
Correct. And certainly the Florida legislature's, you know, tossing around more privatization laws and there's going to be an overlay and a component of that. I know the Homeowners Association near these parking beaches are concerned and, you know, writing me saying good job and don't sue us. And, you know, all these other comments I'm getting flooded. And I appreciate it, by people. And we've got to find, you know, legislators that'll hold up the Florida Supreme Court mandate that these beaches should be accessible to us.
If you're just tuning in, as we speak with attorney John Phillips of the Phillips Firm, we're taking so many calls from listeners as he represents a woman who was run over in Fernandina Beach. New calls this Memorial Day holiday to take cars off First Coast beaches. They are still allowed on a smattering of beaches on Florida's East Coast in our listening area. Chip is in Yulee. Hi, Chip. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a couple of points here. First of all, as far as I know, there have been two incidents of people being run over, which is, this is really that big of a problem. Seems a very, very low number. However, I attended the last meeting that Fernandina had on this subject, and one of the ladies got to speak. She was actually present when the first person supposedly was run over. She was very close to it, looking in that direction, and she claims, and I've heard this from other people as well, that it never happened, that she did not see this person being run over. She said that actually they appeared to be bruised rather quickly, which is not typical of that kind of injury. The second thing is we have lots of space along the beach for people to walk down on. Very little where you can drive. If you're going to go and lie on the beach, why don't you use one of those other spaces where you would not be in any danger whatsoever? There's very, very, like I said, very limited space. It's a pleasure for a lot of people. Why can't there be something for both sides?
Okay, thanks, Chip. That's Chip up in Yulee.
There goes your reasonableness streak, Melissa. So I'm not going to bear any bones that Chip is now accusing me and Amanda Gonzalez of fraud.
That's your client.
Yes. I have seen her MRIs. I have dealt with her. I have pushed her around in a wheelchair. She is injured. She was run over. There is no denying it. I'm tired of the messages saying that this is some conspiracy theory cocked up. If you want to come, you know, take a look at her medical records, come to my office. She was terribly injured. There's a woman that's in Shands Hospital that was terribly injured. And you can't, we're not going to blame them.
Well, and let's also point out, as you've been saying, every beach season, we see these injuries. I mean, depend on it.
It happened in Los Angeles, you know, the week before Amanda Gonzalez. And I will bet, you know, whoever I need to bet that there will be another one in Florida before the season ends. And, you know, since 2011, we've been trying to obtain beach policies. We've actually had governments switch to open air ATVs across the state. And it was amazing because they realized that the F-250s and the large trucks didn't have a cost benefit analysis when life is involved. And if county vehicles are open-minded, counties and cities are open-minded, you know, why can't we have a little bit more from pedestrian vehicles?
Let's take one more call. It's Kim in Fleming Island. Hi, Kim. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd just like to say I moved to Florida here in the very, very early 60s, and at that time, Cocoa Beach did allow driving on the beach. Mm-hmm. I think they very quickly realized that, A, having your car that close to the salt water is not good for the car. B, it destroys the dunes. C, it destroys sea turtle nests. And honestly, down where I came from, they made a wonderful park for parking. It had showers, it had toilets, and it's very inexpensive to park there. And honestly, I just don't see any reason why it's necessary to drive on the beach at all.
All right.
I think, unfortunately, people today are not responsible for their actions. I think they go out there thinking that they're going to joyride an ATV, and people get hurt. And it's not necessary. It's just a luxury that we cannot afford anymore.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. That's Kim in Fleming Island. So where do you take this matter from here, John?
Yeah, you know, we've outlawed texting and driving, finally, as a state.
And that took a long time.
It took a long time. You know, we some of us are still hypocrites and do it. It's not going to happen to me. And that's this. You know, if Chip or whatever his name was, and I don't mean to be dismissive, I just don't remember. If this happened to his child, I don't know if he'd be so dismissive and say that this was a conspiracy. And so we need to have an open conversation. We need to be listened to. It just so happens I'm going to demand it. If anybody knows anything about me, I'm not going to stop. I'll pay the $1,700. I'll manually go through these things. I will go knock on the door of the person that hit and ran over my client. And, you know, we're going to push it and try to hold a reasonable conversation. That's what I love about, you know, shows like this and the people that have approached us is I'm not a zealot. I'm certainly not a fraud. And we're just trying to hold a reasonable conversation and protect people.
Well, keep us posted, and thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thank you, Melissa.
Have a good holiday weekend.
You too.
All right.
Stay safe.
Yeah. Stay safe and cool out there as you head to the beach. And much more still ahead on the show. Later in the hour, a live in-studio performance from artist Tom Shedd of the Florida Folk Festival. That's another Memorial Day tradition. That's later, but up next, it's National Save a Life Day. We'll tell you how you can learn hands-only CPR after this.
It's the 30th anniversary of an American tradition, the National Memorial Day Concert.
Join me, Joe Mantegna.
And me, Gary Sinise.
With Sam Elliott, Patti LaBelle, Alison Krauss, Dennis Haysbert, and General Colin Powell. It's a time to come together to honor and remember our troops, veterans, and our military families.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
The National Memorial Day Concert.
Coming May 26th at 8 p.m. to WJCT Public Television.
Hi, this is Keith Marks. Join me every Thursday evening at 11 p.m. for Avant Radio, a show of curious music for curious minds. Each show is themed, curated, and contextualized to explore new music. Come get curious on Thursdays at 11 on 89.9 FM.
From the roots of jazz with Louis Armstrong and Miles Davis to contemporary artists like Melody Gardot and Eric Toufas, 89.9 HD4 plays nonstop jazz 24/7 for the month of May.
Is Florida's booming real estate market living on borrowed time? I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Join us Friday for the Florida Roundup.
This Friday, as hurricane season gets underway, a closer look at what some climate analysts say could be in the future for Florida, a downward trending real estate market due to climate change.
Join the conversation on the Florida Roundup.
Friday at noon on 89.9 WJCT. And are you guys set up? Welcome back. Well, the nation's EMTs, or emergency medical technicians, do amazing work across this country every day. But they want you to be able to step in and save a life, too, if you ever need to. Today is National Save a Life Day, part of National EMS Week. And anyone can learn hands-only CPR. Here to tell us more, Dr. Andrew Schmidt, Deputy Medical Director of Trauma One Flight Services at UF Health. Good morning.
Good morning.
Rita Duke, she's a nurse and a chest pain center accreditation coordinator, also at UF Health JAX. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Kristen Levita, she is the preventable death coordinator for Trauma One. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And kudos to all of you. Trauma One, the only level one trauma center in Northeast Florida, the vital, vital service for everyone in this community. And we're excited that UF Health JAX has a Trauma One table in our gallery at WJCT today to teach all of us here in the building to learn the early signs of a heart attack and perform hands-only CPR. So all of us here today are going to get to learn this Dr. Schmidt, let's begin with you. Today's National Save a Life Day. Everyone needs to learn some simple steps that could save a friend or loved one or colleague's life. You teach this hands-only CPR. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's true, Melissa. You talked about the EMTs and EMS and the vital role they play in the community, but what happens between that 911 call and their arrival? We have found multiple studies that what makes people survive from a heart attack is that link between the community and EMS. In many average communities, if someone has a heart attack, their survival may only be 5 or 10%. In the other communities where we have really good bystander CPR, so people in the public doing CPR, we have 40% of the people walking out of the hospital alive after a heart attack. So it's the training we do today is 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you can learn this in a few minutes.
Save a family member, a friend, someone walking down the street. It's pretty amazing the small amount of education that it takes to really save a life.
It's amazing. 1.5 million heart attacks in the U.S. each year. Every 40 seconds, someone dies of a heart attack in this country. It's the number one killer of women. But knowing how to perform CPR until help arrives can increase someone's chance of survival by up to 60, 80%. You know, let's talk about this. Kristen, you're the preventable death coordinator for Trauma One. This is all about preventing deaths by all of us civilians learning what to do, knowing what to do.
Right. So hands-only CPR will give people a little bit more encouragement or willingness to help save someone else's life. So just this quick use your hands only to, you know, resuscitate someone would.
And I think a lot of us have a vague idea of what we need to do, like pumping on someone's chest, but there's a technique, there's a specific way to learn this, isn't there?
Right. So it's like your basic CPR certification, only taking a little bit piece of that. We're not doing the mouth-to-mouth thing, so it'll encourage people to do just the compression part a little bit more.
And Rita Duke, as I mentioned, heart disease is the number one killer of women, and of course a lot of men are having heart attacks too. Signs of a heart attack, though, might not be obvious to people. People need to know the signs of and symptoms of a heart attack so that they can administer this help. Can you educate us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Well, many people think that a heart attack is just this sudden thing that comes on quickly, which obviously a lot of the major pain is that way. But there's actually something called early heart attack warning signs. And we do have at our booth brochures and posters illustrating that. But many times people report that they started feeling fatigue and, you know, jaw pain, neck pain, especially women, back pain for weeks or days before their actual event. So don't ignore if something just doesn't feel right, if you just can't shake this fatigue and there's no other reason, don't ignore those. Go to the doctor, get checked out, make mm-hmm. sure that, you know, you're not a heart attack waiting to happen.
And Kristen, tell us a little bit about the classes, I think, that UF Health offers for people that want to be certified in hands-only CPR.
Yeah, so we normally just go out to, like, the health fairs. We do a lot of local churches, schools. We teach even children this very simple technique that can save a lot of lives.
It is simple. Dr. Schmidt, you know, I think this is something people really do want access to. People want this information. They want to be armed with this information.
It's true. I talked about the data earlier. People don't die more in communities because people don't care. People die more in communities because the education hasn't been brought to them properly and the word isn't out there. Like Kristen talked about, one of the whole points behind compressionless CPR is to increase the confidence in a bystander who's not medically trained. To take that person and say, look, you don't have to do mouth-to-mouth on this person, this stranger on the street, but by just applying these compressions, you now have the confidence to save a life. That's the whole mm-hmm. point behind the curriculum.
Let's take a minute, too, to brag a little bit about Trauma One and what Trauma One does.
I'd be happy to.
Based at UF Health Jax, the former Shands, the only level one trauma center in the region. It used to be called, I think, Life Flight some years ago. You have the chopper right there. Tell us a little bit more about how Trauma One works.
Sure. And I'll step in 1 second, make one minor correction. We are Trauma One. Life Flight is based out of Baptist, and they do an excellent job as well.
Oh, thank you for that. No, I always, for some reason, I always conflate those in my mind.
I grew up in Jacksonville, and I have too. So, yes, Trauma One, we've been around for over 3 decades, almost 4 decades, run out of what used to be University, then Shands, now UF Jacksonville. We used to have one helicopter up on the pad. We now have 3 helicopters based in Yulee, Lake City, and St. Augustine. And we provide a service to the region that no other organization does. We have always been the only level one trauma center. We have other trauma centers in the city. We remain the only level one adult and pediatric trauma center. And we, outside of just the trauma, we serve a population that other hospitals can't, and they just can't be due to resources. We have an academic center that has the manpower that we're able to. We have contracts that with the city that we serve populations who are often forgotten, and we play a role that no other hospital in the region does. And I think all of us at the table are very proud of that.
Yeah, it's incredible what you do. I had the opportunity a few years ago to sort of get a tour of the facilities. And at our recent event here at WJCT, our Be a Good Neighbor Day, you had the helicopter in the parking lot so that people could sit in it and get a look at what you do. Now, just one example, we were talking about pedestrian and car injuries in the first segment of this program. Someone's injured on the roads. Seriously injured, that's Trauma One coming to help that person. There are lots of instances of injury and medical emergencies where you are dispatched and you are sent out to get that person to care as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people don't realize about the helicopter crews, and this goes for really any helicopter organization, is it's not just a transport unit. It's a mini ICU going to that patient. We have all of our helicopters have a nurse and a paramedic or critically care trained, and they're doing about the same job I can do in my resuscitation bay, and they're taking that care and those medications, that equipment, straight to the patient.
Okay, and as I mentioned, Trauma One is in our gallery at WJCT today to educate not just all of us here at WJCT, but the other companies. We have lots of other companies, nonprofits in our building, as we're going to learn the early signs of a heart attack and learn how to perform hands-only CPR. Rita Duke, what else should people know about this and how they can learn this procedure and get access to this life-saving information?
Well, we have our Facebook page, our UF Health Jacksonville Facebook page. We go to all the major events around town, Gate River Run, any large community events like that. We have our primary care and community health centers who also do outreach, blood pressure screenings, diabetes education, all of those things. So you can always go to the UF Health Jacksonville website and sign up for any of our, we have stroke and heart disease, breast cancer support groups. We have all sorts of resources for people. Just look us up, give us a call, and we'd be happy to have an event for you.
That's right. They can come out and do training at your place of business. So thanks so much, Dr. Andrew Schmidt, Nurse Rita Duke, Kristen Levita, all with UF Health and Trauma One. Thanks for being here on National Save a Life Day. And I look forward to getting the training later today myself. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And in a moment, a special treat, live music in studio to promote the Florida Folk Festival. That's this weekend, too. Keep listening. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll be right back.
So people howl at the moon in the park. Some drop to the knees and pray. Oh, me, I don't know much about love, but I believe in what I see. Right now, I see gorgeous green eyes looking back at me. What are the chances of a perfect romance? Better than good.
Better than good.
Better than good. She might be thinking one night stand. She might be looking for a man of means. Hey, baby, I'm a man with a plan. Make me part of your dream. Look out, love's coming my way. Right now, I'm living my chance. I can't wait. I'm wishing.
The Florida Department of Health, making healthy tomorrows possible with the right vaccines today. The protection vaccines provide is universal, defending against disease from infancy through old age. Protection begins at thepowertoprotect.org. Cypress Village, a continuing care retirement community, features resort lifestyle amenities which allow residents to remain active and vibrant. The new alternative to long-term care insurance. 901-4004. More at lifecare.brookdale.com.
More than half a dozen states have adopted new restrictions on abortion in hopes the Supreme Court will revisit Roe versus Wade. Women who've had the procedure are speaking out.
I didn't know what I would do with the baby. I was horrified. I had no job. I would have been in no financial position to care for a kid.
The economics of ending a pregnancy. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
I'm Robin Young. Service dogs can be life-saving, but state attorneys general are cracking down on fraudulent sales, completely untrained, sometimes dangerous dogs.
There's no formal governmental process requiring licensing of any facility for the purpose of training these kinds of animals.
We'll take a closer look next time, here and now.
This afternoon at 2 here on 89.9 WJCT.
Speaker Pelosi is resisting the push to impeach, but for how much longer?
I think that's what it's come to.
We can't be scared of elections. We need to uphold the rule of law.
I think the case gets stronger the more they stonewall the Congress.
Democrats say they're at an inflection point, and one Republican lawmaker thinks it's time to act. Will Congress impeach the president? That's next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Better than good.
Welcome back. Finally, this hour, every Memorial Day weekend, the oldest state-produced festival in America comes to life along the banks of the Suwannee River at Stephen Foster State Park. The Florida Folk Festival celebrates folk music and Florida culture. Spokesman and featured artist Tom Shedd joins us now in studio with more. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hey, it's a beautiful day in Florida.
It really is, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend for the Florida Folk Festival. Amazing performances, hundreds of them on 11 stages. You're going to be a featured artist along with some local musicians from our area like Arvid Smith, Bear and Robert, Bob Patterson, and Chris Castle. Just wanted to give a shout out to them. So tell us a little bit more about what we can expect at the festival this weekend.
Well, it's a family event, and it's really the Music and Arts Festival of Florida. It got its folk festival name many years ago back in the 1950s, but music is spread out so much. So it's a place where we celebrate the fact that you live in the place that everybody else save up their money just to come visit. I mean, we have 100 million visitors in the state of Florida. What does it mean to be a Floridian? And every craft, artist, dancer, musician, every single person at the festival has a connection to Florida. When we've got John Anderson, he's coming off the tour with Blake Shelton, and he's going to drop in on Saturday night. And John McEwen from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Bands and his String Wizards, they're going to be there on Friday night. And I get to open up for Billy Dean on Sunday night. But you've got 10 a.m. to 11 p.m., and the family part of it is the part I love the best because it's $5 for the entire weekend for 16 and under. And so it's a $25 in advance for the adults each day or $50 for the entire weekend. But this way, you know, it's a family event. It's put on by your Florida State Parks. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a money making, you know, type cram everybody together. It's at the 3-time National Gold Award win state park up Stephen Foster, right off of I-75 and I-10 in White Springs on the banks of the Suwannee River, where we can have just the best time, and you can spread out. There's 11 different stages, multiple dance stages, kids areas, and we celebrate the music and culture of Florida with people from Puerto Rico, people from Haiti, people from the Bahamas. We got church groups, we got bluegrass, we got blues, we got all kinds of things, and it's all connected to Florida.
That's right. All you got to do is head west on I-10. As you get close to 75, look for the signs to Stephen Foster State Park. If you've never been, this weekend is a great opportunity to check it out. It's a beautiful state park, and the music is going to be fantastic. Now, you're a featured performer, Tom.
Yes.
Going to give us a special treat, a little folk music live in studio right now. What are you going to play for us?
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and I've got a song that covers, I played for veterans, and it covers basically PTSD. It's the byline for the song, it's called Davy's Coronet, is "War is not remembered, it is relived." So it's a song I did a VA hospital tour to make sure it was okay with them and got the thumbs up. And this is a true story. And that story reaches out to all veterans.
All right, here he is, Tom Shedd.
Davey blew a cornet in a jute joint by the tracks. In 17, we joined the war. He volunteered to fight in France. In his shoes at 5'2", they wouldn't let him in the infantry. So he played taps for the boys each night. And at dawn, wake him up with reveille. No glory words, no stories heard about a war to end all war. The only soldier without a gun. Always the shortest one. He's a man with the brass cornet. Now Davy came back from France, put away his cornet. Making babies dead of music, never spoke of regrets. Works a union life, loves his kids and wife, didn't talk much about the war. Just a bugler, that's all he'd say. Watch your kids in the yard as they play. Content with life, his family, his favorite cigar. No glory words, no stories heard about a war to end all war. The only soldier without a gun. Always the shortest one. He's a man with the brass cornet. After he died, we gather inside to sort through his life and his dreams. The truth we all knew wasn't all that was true. What we found there changed everything. Down in the cellar, in a box, in the dark. Papers from the army, photographs, a purple heart. He spent his time on the front lines with a Red Cross on his sleeve. Heard the wounded through the blood and the gore. Now we know he gave so much more. This man with the brass cornet. No glory words, no stories heard about a war to end all war. The only soldier without a gun. Always the shortest one. He's a man.
And that's Tom Shedd at the Florida Folk Festival. Gosh, that's beautiful, Tom. Go enjoy that festival at Stephen Foster State Park this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, Tom Shedd. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Health and the North Florida TPO.